Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It is now quite a day for local sport from your local team. Woo!
This is Charlton Live. Charlton Live. Charlton Live.
Good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live. It's the big match preview here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me in the studio as we prepare to look ahead to Saturday's game up at Blackburn Rovers is Mr. Nathan Muller. How are you doing, Nath?
Living the dream, mate.
Living the dream,
yep.
Yeah. Been a good week?
It's gone quick.
Yeah. You recovered from the Back to the Valley festivities?
It was actually a really good night, actually. We'll probably go into it, but yeah, and then I won a massive blown on Monday at Winter Wonderland.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah, there was
65 bars. There were
65 bars.
Oh, there's no way I'll be able to go through all those.
Nah. Well, you can go through 65 bars on a night out, can't you? But
yeah. Not chocolate. Yeah.
Excellent. Right. Let's get ready to look ahead. Like I say, to Saturday's game with Blackburn Rovers. Elsewhere on tonight's show, we're going to hear from Carl Robinson quite a few times on a couple of different subjects. He's going to talk about the players' Christmas party, as we heard the other day. There's some more updates from Carl there, the disciplining that he's been dishing out. We're going to talk about the transfer window, which of course is coming just after Christmas. The FA Youth Cup is a great win for Charlton during the week, including an incredible third goal from Alfie Doherty.
Something like that.
So we'll hear from Serge Baltacha, the under-18s manager. We'll go back to 2002 for I Wish We Were There, talk about the dinner, check a trade. The players went out to visit a hospital and the hospice this week, so we'll talk about that. And then, of course, like I said, we will look ahead to Saturday's game with Blackburn Rovers up at Ewood Park. Right, but first things first. Now, it was one of the talking points on Sunday's show. We had a couple of comments and emails and whatnot. The Christmas party, obviously, the players after Saturday's defeat up at here at the Valley against Portsmouth, the players were then sort of found out on their Christmas party. They went on the Christmas party and then ended up on Instagram, which some fans weren't too happy with. Quite a lot of fans didn't really care, to be fair. I think I'm probably in the second bracket, but I think Carl was sort of asked about what his plan is in terms of discipline.
Carl, you confirm that you've disciplined those involved in posting images on social media at the players' Christmas party just hours after the home defeat by Portsmouth. You personally have worked overtime in attempting to heal the rift between club and supporters. Is that a setback for you?
There's no rift between players and supporters. Listen, let's get this straight. Every single fan has a Christmas party, 99%. What the players did was nothing wrong. What was stupid and what was disrespectful and what was posted on social media. Listen, mate, we come from an age where we didn't have to tell everybody about what you were doing. You were quite happy in your own company that you were in. And when we got beaten in a game that was hurting us, well, hurt us, and it doesn't look like, but it was, I seen them in the dressing room at the end of the game and how I felt. But it was something that was planned 3 months in advance. Now, if media circuit want to pick up on things and dig people out and make it look 10 times worse than what it was it right to put it on social media? No. Did they deserve a Christmas party? Yes. Was the timing great? No. Was it something they planned immediately after the game? No. It was 3 months. It fitted in with our games programme. But I'm not happy with... It was almost like rubbing it in people's faces. And one individual has been told in no uncertain terms that is not acceptable at all. But then, all of a sudden, people want people to get closer to the players. So when we want this social interaction, you can't then think it's a negative when it has a negative impact. So I was sure. I never found out until Monday morning. And you can imagine my response. I was not happy at all. At all. And the players know that. And it's not because of the Christmas party. It's because of people feel maybe insecure, that they feel they have to show people that they're doing well and show people that they're still part of it. And one or two are deeply embarrassed. And like to Jacko, listen, he loves this club more than anybody. And it made him look like he was... And that is the furthest thing from the truth. I've never known someone to be so affectionate and care so much for a football club as Johnny Jackson. And every single fan's seen the shift that Ricky Young's put in. And then all of a sudden it's turned into this negative thing, which I can see why people have the problem with it. But the big problem I think most people have is by posting it on social media. It's almost like rubbing it in people's faces. And that to me is not acceptable. But there's no, from the fans to the players, there's not been one problem. Listen, we know where the negativity lies. So they've seen how much the players have put a right shift in this year. And we've come off the back of a defeat to Wimbledon, which without the FA Cup, it's amazing how that wasn't a big impact on us. But we felt that we played really well on Saturday. Anyone at the game will say the first half, we were by far the better team. And we just need to take our chances. But if we were the 1-1-0 and that was posted, everybody would have been saying, how good does that look? They're all together. Just a quick one and maybe a final word. I'm sure Clive, you'll have a few questions on it as well. Four or five on a Christmas Day a few years ago. I think it was five or six the following year. Seven the year before. 22 of them went. Right, together, as one. We're very close. We care for each other, we fight for each other, and we really do believe passionately in the football club. We got it tactically right on Saturday, the players put everything in, but when we have to create more chances and then we have to take it. Fundamentally, that was the big problem with the weekend, that we didn't win.
Now, your old friend Sam Allardyce has cancelled Everton's Christmas party.
Listen,
is there a place in the modern game for players' Christmas parties?
He won't cancel the trip to Dubai, trust me, that they'll have in March. But I know that for a fact. Listen, what you hear and what you read, what you see and what you don't see, who's to say that a club can cancel a Christmas party and have a private party where no one's allowed in and no phone's allowed? Everyone thinks everyone's cancelled the Christmas party.
What I'm saying, is there a place in the modern game for players' Christmas parties? Surely they can enjoy themselves at the end of the season.
So does that mean footballers only allowed 4 weeks to enjoy their life over 15 years? So you're only allowing them 60, 70 weeks of their football and life to enjoy it. Everybody in life has an ability to not drink, to drink, to socialise, to play golf, to play snooker, to go to the library, to go for a coffee. I'm not too sure many go to a library, but the library still exists.
As far as I know.
So I think everybody, now if it affects performance, no. So if you're playing Wednesday and you're going a night out on Saturday, if you're playing on Tuesday and you're rotten drunk on the Saturday, it has an effect on your performance. If you go on a Saturday and you don't play the following Saturday, it will not have a single effect on your performance. But like I say, smoke and mirrors within the Premier League, I can guarantee you there'll be a night out somewhere that you'll never hear about.
So there you go, Carl Robinson talking to Tony Hudd about the situation, if you want to call it that, with the player of the year, with the Christmas party. I mean, we talked about this on Sunday, but that's you're straight from the horse's mouth there in terms of what Carl thought. I mean, you pretty much draw a line under it now. I think he said similar to what we said on Sunday. Is like, you know, the players should have their fun. I think there's at least 3 more minutes of that sort of chat as well. But they should have their fun. They should relax. They're not robots. They need to have fun. Everyone has a Christmas party if you want to. And it was just perhaps the timing of the Instagram post from Lewis Page. That was probably the only thing that went wrong there, really.
Mm. Yeah, no, definitely. We said it on Sunday. I'm in the camp where, You know, let them have a night out. We've had an okay season. Yeah, we're not romping the league, but you know, we're not. It's been better than it has been for the last couple of years. And if I sit back and think about it, you know, I think they have deserved a little bit. But like you said, you know, if that wasn't posted by Pagey, then none of us would be none the wiser. So, and it, you know, it wouldn't really matter. But I agree, they should have went. But yeah, it was silly of naive of Pagey. But he's obviously done it in the heat of the moment. I don't think he's done it purposely to wind anyone up.
Yeah, I'm thinking
it's in the heat of the moment, isn't it? Everyone along, does it. Get their phone out, don't they? So
even further along in the clip, the Shadoon play even suggested it might have been an accident as well. In terms of he just wanted to save it or send it privately or accidentally added it to his story. I think it was quite an interesting. I sort of touched on this as slightly jokingly on Sunday as well, but Carl again might have sort of said it there. I think that psychologically for Lewis, who's been out injured for so long, and you know, I joked that when he went to the and signed some autographs in the club shop before a game, it was very rarely that you know, the fans meeting the player. It's also the player meeting the fans, because he wouldn't even know who they are because he hasn't played. But joking aside, he probably does feel slightly left out. He probably does want to remind people that he's part of this club. And in a way, you could almost understand why he might, because if you sat there on the touchline for so long, it must be so difficult as a footballer. I mean, people always talk about, oh, they've got all this money, and that, but, you know, they're still human, you know, and if you, for whatever reason, couldn't do your job for however long, that'd be frustrating, and you want people to remember, no, I'm still part of this team, I want to play, you know, a team that's done quite well this season, I want to play a part in it somehow, at least.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you've got an injury long-term as Pagey had, then you know, you if you go to the training ground, you've got the gym that overlooks the, you know, the training pitch. And if you're stuck in the gym all day and you're seeing all your mates outside having a laugh, you know, having a bit of banter playing football, it can be a pretty lonely place. And obviously he's managed to not get an invite because obviously he's part of the team. But, you know, he's gone along and, yeah, he's done what he's done. But, yeah, I don't think there was any malice in it. I think Robbo's obviously had a word with him and told him what he's thought, and I don't think, like you said, I think it'll be I think a line's drawn under it, and hopefully that is the last of it. But on the same token, I understand how people got a bit annoyed with it. I completely understand, but I'm still in the camp of live and let live.
Yeah, I mean, so I can imagine what your answer is going to be to the next question, but Tony did ask, do Christmas parties have a place in football?
Why not? Yeah. I mean, if they were going, like Robbo said, if it was a night before the match, then obviously it would be interesting.
It's not 1970 anymore.
Exactly. But, you know, even if, like you said towards the end anyway, it would have happened anyway. It was only if Pagey didn't record it, no one would have known, none the wiser, and everything would have been, everyone would have been like, oh, are they not having a Christmas party this year?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think, like he said, they're still human, they're still lives, and got to remember, these guys some of them are still quite young, you know, so they've still got to enjoy themselves. But as long as they're professional afterwards, and, you know, come a Saturday, which they always are, and put a shift in, then I have no qualms whatsoever.
Well, it could be so good for team morale, and he talks about how beforehand, you know, over the last few years, not many people were going. I might even notice that in my own personal office job, actually. Like, this year, everyone joined in with the Christmas party, whereas years gone by, it's been quite quiet. And everyone joins in, and all of a sudden, you're talking to people down the other end of the office that you didn't socialise with as much. So, in a football sense, you know, you're all part of the same team. You might, you know, help you with your understanding. You might all of a sudden want to stay behind to help him with something with training, all these sort of things. It's all team building. It's all excellent. It's all, you know, good stuff, really. Especially in a football club.
Mm. Oh, yeah, of course. And, you know, it's all well and good having the banter and, you know, all getting along as mates and when you're training. But you still require to, you know, still a professional footballer. You still need to go about your business in a professional way. And, you know, you'll have little cliques. So obviously you've got Ahmed and Nabs, who are their own little thing. And then you've got obviously the Essex lads, another lot. But this going away will be a nicer time for them all to go out together, where, you know, they probably, you know, I don't know, maybe Nabs and Pagey, for example, wouldn't necessarily go out on a night out together or have something to eat together. So it's nice for them to let their hair down, everyone as one big unit, and I think it's a good thing. I really do.
Yeah, that's what Charlton Live did at the Back to the Valley dinner. Yeah, because I wasn't talking to you before that, was I? Now we're on speaking terms. Excellent. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
The Silva steps in, wins it back for Charlton, comes away on a run and then feeds Fosu over halfway. Fosu on the left hand side, heading towards the penalty area, looking to take on Pond, gets in the box. Is he going to fall over? No, he's got it, Jeffries! There's number three!
So welcome back, it's Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio on your Thursday afternoon. This is the big match preview on your Thursday evening, in fact. It's Louis Mendes and Nathan Muller in the studio here live from the Valley. Right, of course, Christmas is just around the corner, which to all Charlton fans means they know that January transfer window is just after that. And that's what we're all really looking forward to, of course, as we look to try and get our promotion bid possibly roll in against, having a slight little stutter at the moment as injuries have sort of caught up with us and whatnot. So with the transfer window coming up, you want a manager who knows what he wants, and Carl Robinson is a manager who knows exactly what he wants.
Transfer window coming up, fast approaching. Do you look forward to it? Or?
Yeah, I know who we want.
Yeah.
I know exactly who we want. My shopping list being handed in. Waiting for the sales to open on the 1st and we get our job done.
And will it be done sort of early in that month, do you think? Or is it all going to be done on the last day?
I don't want it done on the last day.
No, you want to get it done.
Anyway. I know what I need. I've never been so clear going into a transfer window of knowing what we need.
What is your ideal transfer window?
I think we all know we need strikers. Probably cover in two areas. To fight with the people who are playing. Not going to say where they are because I don't want to be. But I think we need. I don't want people to think there's a weakness in them areas. But I feel that if we lose one or two players, we look worse. I think we need to make sure that we've got two areas covered, two types of strikers coming in to support what we have. And I know who we want, I know where they play, I know what they want. Very, very clear.
And the two strikers, would that be in addition to Leon Best if you decide you want him?
He may be one.
He may be one of those, yeah. Okay. Do you still expect Ezri Konsa to go in the
transfer window? Well, that's right now. I think the big thing is if he does go, he comes back immediately on loan.
Right.
I'll be honest with you, I've had no conversations in regardless to talk about that. So I couldn't really. I think the big one is that he's got to come back and be on loan here.
So you wouldn't need to re-strengthen in his position.
I think when you say to me what you need, I think I know what I need to build on top of this team. If he went, I think it would be a case of, well, I need to replace that with that. And we need to have that in place. And to be fair to Stevie, he's got all them bases covered. We sit down on a daily basis, reevaluate, reassess and rewatch. And we've worked really hard over the past 4 weeks. This has been a very small fraction of my job, being here and doing things. I've been to so many games. I've been to some Premier League games to meet managers and stuff to try and tempt some of the players to come. Behind the scenes, we've worked extremely hard. I've not had a Christmas party, so I deserve one.
Well, where should Carl go for his Christmas party? Well, it sounds like he's going shopping. Now, obviously, he's saying that he's got a shopping list. Is he going to be given the coupons to go and get what he wants?
Do you want a single answer? I think he'll get one. I don't think he'll get all of what he wants.
Yeah.
When he says, obviously, striker's one, obviously, and then the other two, I think, could be in a wider area and one in as a DM. That's where I think that's where I think we should strengthen. Whether or not me and him singing off the same hymn sheet, I don't know, but I can see. For him to get a striker, they are going to have to spend some money, or it's going to be a loan signing. So, watch this space, I suppose. I mean, there's obviously been some names in terms of personnel that have been linked with us, which we spoke about Matty Godden on Sunday, didn't we? So, is it him or is it another loan similar ilk to Mavididi? Is that Eddie Nketiah or whatever his name is? I can't pronounce it from Arsenal. Is he going to be one? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But I can't see him getting all three positions.
Mm. I mean, I guess the uncertainty from in terms of a takeover, which is something that's been talked about quite a lot. I mean, that's not gonna help really, because if Roland's not planning on kicking about much longer, then I can't imagine he'll be that willing to splash the cash.
No, exactly. And this is the problem that you're going to have, is because whilst it's in the current ownership, Roland's not going to want to spend. if we're new into a takeover, then obviously the new owner's going to want to have some say of what we're spending, because it's going to be on their books when they take over. So it's still a bit up in the air, which seems to be every January with us, to be honest. But I think the main one is definitely a striker and a centre mid, a winger possibly, but I think that would be the third priority in my opinion anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if you could only have one, so you definitely striker.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think with DM, yeah, Jake and Ahmed, and although I said on Sunday I thought you can tell we missed Ahmed so much against Portsmouth in terms of the way we had our ball retention and how he dictates the tempo. I still feel, yeah, I think Ez could do a job in there. Not like Ahmed, but he could do a job in there. Same as Joe could. But I think the goals is where we're struggling. And I think, I mean, Saturday was, yeah, we didn't create a lot, but it was one of our rare occasions where we didn't create a lot. Usually it's the other way around where we create loads and can't finish them. But I think the striker is the Big Josh is doing a job. Don't get me wrong. He's doing an amazing job. But he's not your 15-20 goal year striker. Which you're looking at the teams above. You're looking at Blackburn and Wigan and the teams above. They've got someone like that. So,
well, I'd say Josh has got 15 in him. If you look at the amount of goals he got last season, I think it was what eight or nine, and that was including a fair spell on the sidelines.
But I mean, even just to give him a blow, you know, he's been playing for us. He's been playing for Northern Ireland. He needs a couple of games out, but we've got no one in there, who I think can lead the line, or at least get a few chipping with a few goals within that time. I think we're desperately short up there. But I said it at the beginning of the year, and I sort of I'm not saying he won't get 10, obviously, because I think he's more or less got 10 now anyway.
He's got 8, he got 10 last year. He's already got 8 so far this year.
He might get 15, but I mean, Ivan Toney and all those sort of players, they're doing all right, and I just think we need someone different apart from the big man up front. I think we just need another dimension of a plan B.
Carl sort of mentioned there that other than the obvious striker, he said there's one or two positions he'd like to strengthen otherwise. I mean, he wouldn't be drawn into which ones those were, but I mean, did you feel you know which...
I feel a DM and a winger of some sort. I think he said it in the summer that he was still looking for another type of winger. Whether or not that's changed, because I don't think he realised how good Fosu was going to be.
Because Tariq Fosu was certainly brought in as a backup to the likes of Mark Marshall and Ricky Holmes. But I mean, would you say they're quite similar players, perhaps, were Fosu and Marshall?
I think Marshall's more of a sort of hug the touchline sort of player. I think Tariq comes in and gets the ball deeper and drives. Whereas I find Marshall as an old school winger, hug the touchline, beat his man, tries to cross the ball. Whereas I think Fosu will drive a lot better and cut inside. But I think, I can see where you might want another one, but I still think you need someone who can run a game or can at least manage a game properly, like Ahmed can, and maybe slow the play down if we need to, or speed it up if we need to, because I don't think we've got anyone else apart from Cashy. Even though Jake's a different type, he's more of a sort of classy, sort of silky player, I still think we need that bit of grit and someone who does the donkey work when Ahmed's not there.
And in terms of Ezri Konsa, I mean, the word a couple of weeks ago was we felt it was likely he'd go, but Carl's certainly insisting that he gets a loan back. Now, I mean, if he does go and a loan back, it does happen, then I guess you'd count that as sort of even, at least for this season, in terms of the squad, which is what we're worrying about in the short term. But if he does go and he doesn't get loaned back, which, I mean, we had spoke about hoping to get Lookman loaned back last season, and we spoke about, other players we'd hope to get loaned back in the past, and it never happened. So if he does go and doesn't get loaned back, then that would immediately make us a player short in that position, and we'd certainly have to strengthen there again if he were to go.
Yeah, exactly. So if he doesn't come back on loan, that's four players you need. And it's bad enough us trying to get one or two. So I think it'd be suicidal if we let him go and try not get him back. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, who the people that are going to buy him, they're not, no offence, but it's not going to be the Prestons of this world, where he's probably going to go straight to their first 11. It's going to be the Spurs or the Arsenal or the Chelsea, and he's not going to walk into their 11. So even from Ezzy's point of view, he'd be, in my opinion, he'd be crazy if he just went and didn't want the loan back anyway. But by the sounds of Carl, I think if he does go, I think that there'll be a term in there that he is definitely loaned back, which makes sense for us and for Ez. You know, I wanted Gomez to come back, and then he started, and then he hasn't looked back since he had the injury in between. But I just think it would be crazy if we didn't get anything back getting back on loan.
Dan tweets in saying what he has planned is totally different to what he will get. Same old story with this regime, time and time again. And that is, you know, there will always be this sort of lack of confidence, perhaps, in Ronan du Châtelet from sections of the Charlton supporters because of what we've seen over the years. We've always, I mean, you know, football fans are never satisfied, but at the same time, we've been left notably short in years gone by, and this year we've certainly been left slightly short. You know, we were saying in the summer, oh, we're maybe even one or two away, but those one or two didn't quite come to fruition. So once again, we feel like we've been slightly shortchanged in terms of what we could have.
Mm. No, yeah, and it's like Robbo said, he didn't want it last minute, which I don't think anyone wants. You know, ideally it'd be a case if we get it done early and then we go, right, that's it, nothing. No one's leaving, no one's coming in. Otherwise, what happened, the last one is obviously Big Nose went last minute, then we had to get Joe Dodo in, which hasn't turned out very well. And I think that's the most frustrating thing, because we don't know whether we're coming or going. So I think, like, if we get it done early, like I said, I don't think we'll get all three positions he wants. I'll be very surprised if he does. I think we might get two. I don't think both of them will be permanent. No, I can't see that. Yeah, no.
Do you think we'll have the ability to get it done early as well? Because,
well, that's the hardest thing is the selling team are always going to want to try and hold out for as long as possible to try and get the most money. No one's going to bid on the 1st of January and go, here's 500 grand, and someone goes, yeah, I'll take that. Even if it's above their valuation anyway, they're going to leave it hanging and say, oh, someone at so-and-so's interested, to try and up the price. So unless you've got something done more or less coming into the window where there's no other interest, I can't see it ever being, I mean, when I say early, I mean like the first couple of days. Mm. But I think you're always going to have that rush around last day, because people are just going to try and get as much out and squeeze as much out of you as possible.
Mm. Okay, so we're hoping, obviously, for stuff to be done early. But sometimes, you know, you see how patient, you see that? You see how patient we were? Yeah, sometimes you have to be patient. Right, quick break here on Charlton Live. Be back in 30 seconds or so as we get ready to look back at the FA Youth Cup game on Tuesday or Wednesday night.
Cassie sees, but Ormond Coffey's line, he's gone for it, you know.
Oh, what a goal!
What a goal by Ormond Coffey!
Oh,
that's almost at the halfway line.
Unbelievable strike.
That is outrageous. Right footed. Well, he saw Ormond Coffey's line. What a goal.
Charlton Live. So welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. On Tuesday evening is the FA Youth Cup, and Charlton away to the Charlton under-18s, that is, away to Queen's Park Rangers over at Loftus Road. And it's a 3-1 victory. Now, it's a great victory to get into the next round, which will be the fourth round, where we'll be playing at home against either Millwall or Reading. I don't know if that game's been played yet, but when I checked earlier, it hadn't. So I assume not. So potential London derby with Millwall. I saw us beat Millwall in that competition here a couple of years ago on penalties. So hopefully, I mean, that's the only time we ever seem to beat Millwall. So hopefully we'll get another chance to do so. But any progression in the FA Youth Cup is always something to be proud of. And the game was capped off by an incredible, one of the most memorable goals you're ever going to see from someone in a Charlton shirt. Alfie Doughty, we can't decide, Doughty, scoring from well within his own half, left-footed one. The keeper, it was debatable whether it was a clearance or not. The keeper was way out of his goal, and he sort of bent round him and made it 3-1 in injury time to add the gloss to it, you know, give you that daylight that you needed to the result. But, I mean, it was an unbelievable goal. I mean, you've seen it, Nave. What did you think? Did you think he meant it?
No. Only he can answer that. I just think with the way that he strike the ball when it's come from a wide, it looks like he's tried to play it down the channel, and it's just he's got a bit too much purchase inside, and it's. But listen, if he's meant it, then full play. You know, a fair play to him because it was a great little finish. But usually those ones from there, you'd usually go in the air, but you'd sort of dink it. But nonetheless, it went in, didn't it? So he's been granted the goal, and it was a great finish in. What's it called? I mean, speech bubbles or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
But, it's decent, but if he meant it, only he'd be able to say.
I mean, competitions like this, I mean, the under-18s are, you know, very rarely get to go and watch him. It's normally is in the FA Youth Cup, if I ever do. But you know, this sort of cup competition at their age is all good experience, mm. and they could come up against, the further they go in the competition, the better chance they've got coming up against other higher placed academies. I remember seeing this against Chelsea here a few years ago. I think we're 2-0 up and ended up losing 3-2 against Chelsea a few years ago as well. In fact, Ollie Groom's mum made us sausage rolls for that game, and they're amazing.
Do you remember that? What was the score?
3-2.
Oh, wow. I thought you remembered the score, the sausage rolls, but not the score. Well, they must have been that good.
If you tasted these sausage rolls, yeah, they're legendary. Well done, Ollie Groom's mum. all this is obviously good experience to build up to, you know, higher pressure football when they go into their senior careers.
Yeah, oh, no, definitely. I was just looking at the lineup, actually, as you were speaking. You've got a good couple of players in there, which I thought they were older than under-18s, but obviously they're not. But, yeah, no, it was a good little... good result.
From Zamora, I've seen play.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Gordon Zamora.
Yeah, Sarpong Wiradu's decent player.
You got Luke Carey's a good player. And is it Alex Willis, is it?
Yeah.
I can't say I've seen Corunda or Pollard play. But that Sarmiento, is that Portuguese guy?
Don't know.
Is he the one we've just recently signed? He's supposed to be really, really good.
I don't know. You have to.
I'm pretty sure he's like Portuguese. That's all I mean. I'm sure someone will be able to tell me because they obviously know more about under-18s than me. But it's great experience. And obviously, if they like, we've always spoke about it before. If they look at the progress and the chances that Joe's had and. Obviously, Ez and Solly, but not even to that extent. Even to the likes of Lapsley coming in and getting his goal, and obviously centre back Joe, who played the other week for the Checker Trade, Joe Saunders or something like that. James Maskell, the centre back. Cummins,
yeah, sorry.
Saunders, don't know where I got that from. But if they look at that, they know if they perform well at that level. They could get a chance, not definite, but and that's it. They've got an avenue here, and we always speak about it, and I think it's a good thing for them. So hopefully we can push on to the next round. Which I don't know. Yeah, you said that it's not decided yet.
Not decided yet. But anyway, so the goal scorers in that game: Luke Carey, Albie Morgan, and Alfie Doughty with the goals. Now Serge Baltasha is the manager for the under-18s. He caught up with the club after the game.
Serge, a 3-1 victory here at Loftus Road tonight for the under-18s. How would you assess your side's performance?
Outstanding performance. It's so far best performance this season, and boys stick with our game plan. They've been brave. We won a battle one against one collectively. And individually, what we talk about, like before game, about come and be, positive in attacking shape, keep possession, counter-attack. And it's what is we, planned like boys done. But like I said, it's individual, and team performance was outstanding.
We dominated from the start, got the goal, but then we were pegged back quite quickly. How pleased were you that the team kept going and then got themselves back in front?
Yeah, it showed character of boys. First half was very intensive, very extreme midfield, a lot of rotation was, you know, from them, and we stick with this, you know, we managed to dominate, you know, not allow them to have a lot of, you know, time, space, you know, we've been very tight, you know, stop them to deliver ball in wide areas, you know, and managed first half very well. In second period, we, you know, just to, you know, try to same performance, to have same level of performance, and boys done outstanding job.
How important is the FA Youth Cup for yourself and for the boys?
Yeah, boys show now that we're not afraid of anyone. Like, we're ready to go next level and see what happens.
Into round four now, either Reading or Millwall. Have we got a preference at all?
Not really. Like, it's important, like, we play in home game, and, you know, I'm sure crowd will be support us, you know, at home. Graham Valley, maybe. I think it's really very interesting.
And just finally, how important is it that tonight's performance becomes a benchmark for the rest of the season for the under-18s?
Yeah, I think we talk about this as well with boys before game. It's like last four or five games we had quite good performances. And it's, you know, the show they mature, you know, a lot of last maybe couple months, you know. And this is performance show. They're ready to go in and take anyone.
Fossum, who's onside. Fossum, edge of the penalty area. Can he get a shot away? He can, and it's the opening goal. Tariq Fossum sprung the offside trap, gets his second goal of the season, and Charlton's first of the evening. And they're 1-0 up here in the Manchester Stadium.
Out by Colin Walsh, Charlton's first goal scorer a decade before. It was indeed a very happy anniversary.
Kishishev, won by Rowett for Lisby. Rowett's cross, Hughes there, good defending by Carragher, but Hughes the second time of asking. Charlton lead with a goal from Jason Yule. Denied initially by some very stout defending. Yule was alert enough and light on his feet to respond. Jamie Carragher did enough against him, but it came back off Oncho. And Yule whipped it into the top corner. And Charlton Athletic have won all three games in which Jason Yule has scored previous to this one. Again, and now Lisby. Possibilities here on the counter. Bartlett. Oh, good stop by Kirkland. Here's Lisby again, and Konchesky. Yes. Coolly taken by Paul Konchesky. It's Charlton Athletic 2, Liverpool 0. They've always looked dangerous on the break. They have been under siege at times in this second half. But Charlton have continued to believe they could find a way past Chris Kirkland again. And Paul Konchesky with the most delightful of lobbed finishes has given the home side clear daylight. It's a happy rebirth day.
takes us back 15 years to 2002. That was actually the 10th anniversary of the return to the Valley. It's incredible to think, really. So just 10 years from, you know, the day you look at all the pictures we were looking at throughout the last couple of weeks, and that tiny little valley that we came back to, and all that hard work. Just 10 years later, we're an established Premier League team. You know, putting the likes of Liverpool to the sword. Anyone, Jason Yule scoring a header, a header that sort of got bundled around, then he sort of banged in the rebound, and then the second one was a great finish from Paul Konchesky, where he got played back to him and he lobbed it over the goalkeeper. Colin Walsh looking much younger there. I was watching the video yesterday when he came out to lead the two teams onto the pitch, and also two of my brothers were on the telly that day, and I was sat right next to him. They cut me off. What's all that about?
Well, yeah, I'd probably would have done the same.
Harsh. I showed them. you look back 15 years ago, can you believe how quickly that's gone?
Yeah, no, I was still in secondary school.
Were you?
I was, yeah.
Yeah, paid up. job, yeah.
I was 15. But I remember, obviously I remember having a season ticket, but I can't remember that game.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great game. Like,
I remember the other ones, the Chelsea's. I think if I see the goals again,
I remember Dean Kiely making a superb save from, what was that Diouf they had?
El Hadji Diouf.
Yeah, a header from close range, a superb save. And then Michael Owen sort of falling over and sticking the rebound over the bar and stuff like that.
15 years. That was just after Diouf signed, wasn't it? Because it was at the year after he played well at the World Cup for Senegal.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah, he would have played.
I remember it now, but I can't remember that game. But yeah, 15 years ago, it flies, didn't it? But yeah. Those were the days. And then, we're playing likes of, no disrespect, Julian Moulden and Blim and Berry.
Excellent. And Blackburn, of course, who were playing on Saturday, which we'll talk about in a few moments' time. That was 15 years ago. 25 years ago was the Back to the Valley occasion. And on Sunday, so we had all the celebrations all throughout the weekend, and that culminated after Sunday afternoon show. We did an early show in that Back to the Valley dinner upstairs here in the North Stand Lounge. And Charlton Live had a table. We went along and very much enjoyed ourselves.
Yeah, very good. Obviously had a nice chat with Pally, Curbs, who else was there? Barmer, Walshy. Saw the boot.
He saw the boot that Walshy had.
Donated
from the museum for the evening.
Yeah. It was nice. It was nice for us to go out and go and enjoy ourselves, really, because a lot of the time, you know, obviously we're here and, you know, Terry and Greg are doing the comms and I don't really get to see them sometimes. And it was nice for all of us to go out, but the occasion was nice.
Mm.
Nice food, nice company. Met some new people, but yeah, it was a really good, and it was the in between bit of the, you know, the videos and that were really good, and it was a brilliant video, and obviously we raised a lot of money for the trust for the charities.
They had an auction on the night, which on its own raised over £14,000 for the community trust. Then you have all the 25% from the match tickets and from the programs and any other donations and stuff. It will all add up, and I'm sure we'll get a total at some point. I think the highlight of the night for Mark Newbury, who was on our table, was when Gary Nelson came over and started massaging his shoulders.
Yeah, he did. Mark, he said, "Oh, bit tense, mate," and Mark just was like a little stumble bum. He was like, but yeah, he looked right in awe. But then I suppose that in 20 years, that's something like Chris Solly coming to do that to us, maybe. But not that I'm wishing for that or anything.
I'm sure I could ask him on Saturday if you want.
Or if Jan came over and.
In fairness, Jan gave me a great hug at a Player of the Year dinner once. I very much in there.
Didn't watch for a month.
No, exactly, yeah.
Still haven't.
Explains a lot. Yeah. Right, also during the week, the Checker Trade home game, we got drawn away to, at home to Oxford after we won away at Swansea under 21. So our home game has been confirmed for January the 9th, 7:45 p.m. here. Only three games from Wembley now, Nath. Are you getting excited?
Yep.
Are you?
Yeah, no. Why? Listen, you know, I've said since the beginning, the trophy is an absolute joke. But me saying that, if we get a chance to go Wembley, I'll be silly to say, and I'll be a liar if I said that I wouldn't go. But, I think Oxford's going to be a difficult game. Glad we're at home, though, to be fair, because then we've got three home games now, haven't we?
Mm.
So is it Gillingham, Oldham, and then obviously Oxford. Yeah, if we beat Oxford, then I think I'll start thinking about it then, but I still think we're still a long way to go. But that it's still a bit sore about the Tottenham thing. So it's still very sore, actually.
You talk about Tottenham so much. I'm starting to think they're your second team.
No, it's just I just really wanted to go there because I got a lot of Spurs mates. So yeah. I didn't want us to get drawn out against Spurs if we weren't in that. And then, you know, look what happened. But I think if we beat Oxford, then I'll start thinking, well, maybe we could have a little cheeky little day out.
Yeah.
But who knows? But Oxford are a decent little team.
We'll see. Right, emails have come flying in. This one's from Bob Knight. It's the only one, actually. But it says, I'm sorry, guys, but you're in dream world. Roland has made it clear with the Leon Best situation. He doesn't want to spend anything. Yes, Konsa and anyone they can get money for will go. We will have to rely on kids coming in too early. As the playoff position drifts away, we'll be looking over our shoulder just to stay up. Unless the sale of the club goes through, we are stuck with another mediocre season, and more of us will say enough is enough. And that's from Bob Knight. Thanks for your email, Bob. I mean, that is I was sort of thinking about it while we're having the conversation. I think every transfer window that comes up in the summer and in the in January as well, and we have these conversations here in the studio and fans, and we'll talk about as if we are just a regular club. We will go and spend money in January when they need to, or might not be able to sometimes, but we always talk about it as we try and normalize it almost. Saying, yeah, you know, maybe this will be the summer, but we have said it on the show. Years gone by, it has proven every pretty much every transfer window they were coming out of it with some sort of level of disappointment. Now, in this summer, it was a bit better. You know, we built on what we bought in last summer, added a couple more bodies to that, and we felt very close, but we still did end up slightly short. And I guess that's what Bob is getting at. Every year, we have ended up disappointed.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can totally understand where, you know, Bob's coming from. And I think if we were, obviously I know he'll probably disagree what I'm going to say, but I think if we were, say, languishing 16th, 17th, then I'd probably think that we weren't going to get too much because we weren't pulling up any trees. But I think in the position that we're in now, I think it's clear to see, maybe not to everyone, I mean, in terms of the upstairs, but I think it's clear to fans and to Robbo what we need, and we just need that little bit more, you know, that little bit more guile and that little bit much more quality in the squad. I think we'll be able to do well.
But that's if he wants to do it.
Yeah, but that's what the key is. I think I don't think you're going to get a better chance. I mean, we're in a decent position.
But does promotion really mean that much to him?
Well, I mean, if we get promoted, it would put the value up. So, I mean, if he's bothered about if he does want to sell, then if we get promoted, the value of the club's going to go up. So surely you'd think.
But does it go up by that much? I mean, I don't claim to be an expert on this, but sure, I know you still make a loss in the Championship. You make a loss outside of Premier League.
You'd still make a loss, but surely the value of the club. If you only one away from the one year away from a potential Premier League payment, and then you do get a little bit of money, you're still running at a loss. I would imagine that you're still valued at as a higher price, maybe, but not.
I mean, don't forget, the rumours are that he's asking for a hell of a lot anyway already. So,
well, exactly. So, hopefully, don't ask for more, otherwise they'll go and buy Newcastle. But that's what my logic is. But listen, we all know that sometimes the guy's logic isn't all there. Is to be as an understatement, but we can only hope. And I just think in the position that we're in now, I think we've got a better chance than where we were last year, where we were sort of milling around. But yeah, I mean, the proof will be in the pudding, won't it? And then Bob could turn out to be right. He may be right, I don't know, but I'm still gonna keep my optimism, you know, even though it might be waning. I'll keep it until the last day of the window.
Right, now the players during the week had their annual visit, annual Christmas visit to local hospital and hospice. So they went to Demelza Hospice and the Queen Elizabeth Hospital to, you know, see the some of the people in there, and just, you know, just chat with them and just be with them, hand out some gifts to the children, that sort of stuff. I mean, it's one of those things where you go, you know, oh, every club does it, but you know, Charlton do it as well, and it's a really nice touch. And you know, if you go into a hospital around here, you're bound to bump into Charlton fans, and that's what happens. Carl Robinson had this to say on those visits.
No, listen, I think it's something that we really enjoy doing. Again, when I first came in, it wasn't something that it was. I think only four or five, when we were talking before, only four or five of the players went, and it was just part of their visit. Since we've been here, every single player who's associated with us has to go. Ironically, no, no, they want to go. They want to go in and see the children. They want to go in and see the older fans. We went into a cancer ward where they were on in for 24 hours for a hit of chemo, and seen a fan who first went in 47. Another fan who went to the playoff game at Wembley, and just chatting away, and a fan who sits in the North Lower, who's been ill since his last game was Bristol Rovers at home. We just stood and chatted for 10-15 minutes about the club and about obviously the illness and his treatment, and you walk out of there feeling a bit guilty. Sad, but when you see the strength that they have to cope with the real problems in life, not a social media problem of somebody having a drink at Christmas, the real problems in life, it puts everything into perspective, mate. Yeah, that's regardless whether you support Charlton or any football club, and just to be there, just to communicate with people, and just to. And listen, if they laugh and joke for 10-15 minutes, it's 10-15 minutes that they wouldn't have been laughing for and smiling for.
So there you go. That's Carl talking about the visits to the local hospital and hospice. And also, I mean, it's a really nice touch. And you know, if you're not feeling too well to meet one of the Charlton players, you know, as Carl says, it just gives you a bit of time just to think about something else.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, I know we've done it for a few years. I think it goes back to even when I was growing up, but it's a nice touch from the fans, it was nice, but you know, and it put like you said, it puts it into perspective. When people talk about pressure at football, I think that's not pressure. You know, pressure is someone going, having that illness and going through it all, and that's pressure, and it's a nice thing to do, and hopefully. You know, not only just kids, you know, mate, you know, fully grown adults, we get excited at football, and hopefully it's made, you know, a few people's day.
Right, just to give you an update, actually, that Reading versus Millwall game in the FA Youth Cup is currently going on. Reading lead Millwall by 2-1 at half time.
Oh, the Royals.
Yeah, Millwall have pulled one back just before half time there. So that at 10 to 8 on Thursday, it's half time. So if you're listening on the podcast, probably be full time by the time you join. And we'll know. But at the moment, we're on tenterhooks to find out who's coming to visit, presumably the Valley, in the FA Youth Cup fourth round. Right, Saturday, we're the ones making a trip elsewhere. We're going all the way up to Lancashire to play Blackburn Rovers. Not a traditionally happy hunting ground for us recently. But anyway, Carl Robinson, of course, looked ahead to Saturday's game with Blackburn Rovers.
On Saturday, you go to Blackburn, are involved in the cup replay on Wednesday against Crewe. Does that give Charlton edge?
Well, quite ironically, we seem to be coming these teams who are in good form when we're losing some of our players. People see this as maybe a mini blip in the season, but we go there. We had a great training day on Tuesday. The lads were excellent on Tuesday. They really were. They put a right shift in. Old school, I'd say they sweat it out of them, but obviously that might seem as disrespectful. But we really worked hard. We tactically started getting things ready. Like you've seen on Saturday, we played three systems during the game. We tried almost everything. People talk about one system and one tactic doesn't work. We played direct quickly, we played 4-4-2, we played 4-2-3-1, we tried everything. So we tried one or two things this week that we think they can negate some of their strengths, but they've got one of the best squads in the league. Just show you obviously what they've spent in the summer and what they brought in. Tony Mowbray is a top manager. It's a great club. I spent 18 months here. It's a great club, and it's certainly a game. Quite ironically, the last two games in the Portsmouth and the Blackburn game and ourselves, two teams have been used to playing in the Premier League and won the FA Cup, ironically, in that period of time. So, and then we go to Blackpool, who've also been in the Premier League. It just shows you how League One's become a bit of a difficult league. And we go to Wigan after that, who've also been in the Premier League. You know, Southend's in the middle of it. But you look at some of the games that we're playing at the moment, it's a very difficult run of games. And we need our best players fit. We need Cashy fit. We need Tariq fit. We need all these players back firing, because with a weaker team without them. But that's the same as lost Jake Forster-Caskey or if we lost any of them. We need our strongest players when we go into these games. But then playing on a Wednesday, they made a number of changes, so it's not going to be something that's really going to play too much on my team talk.
On that subject, is there any sign of Charlton's long injury list shortening ahead of the very, very hectic Christmas schedule?
I'd like to think Cashy's out running this week. We want to rescan towards the end of the week, Tariq, just to make sure he's in a good place to move forward. And once we get the all clear back of that, we can start pushing him forward as well.
Is it too early, sadly, for Tariq?
Well, yeah, way too early, yeah. It was a bit more severe than what we thought, and it was. It's going to be a decent knock.
Jason Pearce.
He's fit, yeah. He's available.
So it is shortening then.
Oh, it's shortening. Shows you how long it was. We're getting these players back. We've still got no Bauer, no Cashy, no Tariq. And at the beginning of the season, they were the outstanding lights. And Pat started unbelievable. Cashy. Everyone knows how good he is, and Tariq was our leading goal scorer. So it's almost like us going to them, but then losing Charlie Mulgrew, Dak, and maybe Smallwood. So it just shows you that any team. It's funny how you hear Premier League managers talk about losing their star players, and it becomes headlines that they don't have them. Yet when we seem to lose our star players at the lower levels, that we just have to get on with it. But it doesn't mean that we're not good enough to go and win. That necessarily doesn't mean it. What it does is the ones who are knocking on the door for a period of time need to stand up and be counted.
Is Patrick Bauer going to be out longer than first anticipated?
Pat's again on the training ground, hopefully by tomorrow. No, it's not really. It is what it is with him. But he won't be too long away.
So that's Carl giving us the latest update on some injuries as we look ahead to Saturday's game. With Blackburn Rovers, I mean, you know, try and take the good news from that. Jason Pearce is going to be back by the sounds of it. So that's a player that we've missed and we'll add a bit of a little bit of communication and experience at the back, which I feel like we've been missing a bit over the last couple of weeks now.
Yeah, especially commanding and organising the back four. That's not to say Nabs and Ez haven't been doing a good job. They've done well, but I still think Jason Pearce is our best central defender and should be in the squad there. In place of whom? I don't know. That'll be up for debate, but I think Pearce should be in there. And obviously, Billy Clark will be a weak fitter, which I think he's key, even though I know he wasn't at his best on Saturday, but he just come back from a long layoff. So, yeah, it's getting there, but we still got. The main one for me is Ahmed now, and I think that's, especially with Blackburn and Wigan away, that's going to be a big...
That's exactly the sort of play you need in an away game like that, just to protect in the middle of the park.
Yeah, you need someone doing the dirty work. I'm not saying none of the others do the dirty work, because they do, but...
Does Dodo do the dirty work?
I don't know. I don't know if Dodo does the dirty work, but... but like you said, that's a game that Cashy would be pivot win.
Yeah.
And... Again, like I said earlier, Joe Rebo, technically okay, but is he that enforcer, that sort of half-back sort of player, you know, the one who sits in front? I don't think so. So I think that's where we're going to struggle. Can we play Ezri in there and put Naby in alongside Pearcey? Who knows? But we'll soon find out Saturday.
And Blackburn haven't lost since the 14th of October. And they're on one hell of a run now. I think they've won six out of the last seven, undefeated at home since the 3rd of October in the Football League Trophy, undefeated at home in the league since the 16th of September when AFC Wimbledon got a surprise win up there. Now, I mean, this is by no means an easy task whatsoever. And if you needed further proof that history is against us here, I've done one of my boring stats again. Now, on our last games before Christmas away from home, we haven't won our last away game before Christmas. since 2009 in Stockport. So we lost last year. We lost just before Christmas at Millwall. The year before, we were good at Burnley, but sadly succumbed to a 4-0 defeat. Year before that was Blackburn. We lost 2-0. Bolton, a 1-1 draw, which I didn't. Out of all these, there's only two I didn't go to, and they were two of the ones we didn't lose. There was a 2-0 defeat at Sheffield Wednesday, a 1-1 draw at Walsall, a penalty defeat in the Johnson's Paint at Brentford. Our last win, 2009, Stockport 2-1. Although Jonathan Grade happily tweeted me and saying that Blackburn haven't won their last home game before Christmas since 2002, which was a 4-2 win over Fulham. Although he may have made that up just to cheer me up, I haven't checked it. But history is against us.
Yeah, history and form. Form is against us. But look, yeah, I think Blackburn will go up automatically. For me, I just think we just can't afford to lose the game. I think I'd take a point now. I think, I don't know if anyone else would, but I think a point would be a great result considering the players we've spoken about already, the form they're on. And like Tom said on Sunday's show, you know, he's looking up at second, I'm looking down at seventh now. And we need to try and maintain that gap to at least 3 points until Jan, which is going to be very difficult considering like the away games we've got this month. So I'd take a point. But will we get it? I don't know. It depends. Yeah, but there's an argument that we always play better against the better teams. There could be an argument that maybe we'll turn up. Maybe will we get a reaction from the whole debacle of last week and then the
It was only about 3 or 4 weeks ago that we went up to a Scunthorpe team and played them off the park in that first half. And exactly. obviously we succumbed in the end. But you know that's what we want to see again. Right. We've got a cashy back bet. We're not trusting ourselves again. So we put it out to the world of Twitter, and Niall Brennan has picked us. I often see Niall after games, I think, actually, knocking about. So hopefully he's got a good head on his shoulders. What's he gone for?
He's gone for Billy Clark, first goal scorer, 2-1. Decent odds. I'm surprised how much money we're getting. I think we off 250, I think we got £202. I think it's like, £202.50. I just did just tweet it out, but I can't remember the penny, but it's about £200. So that would be great. If we won that game,
yeah.
But hopefully. But as we always say, anything, we've not won one yet. Not even. Well, we came close once.
Yeah, but we haven't.
But we haven't. Won.
Right, we've run out of time here on Cheltenham Live. This has been the Big Match Preview. I hope you've enjoyed the show, Nathan. Thanks for coming in.
Cheers, Luke.
I've been Louis Mendes. This has been the Big Match Preview. Let's hope it's a Big Match Preview that brings us 3 points on Saturday. We'll see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.